I'm going to be very open with you and kind of just share my heart a little. The thing that I wrestle with every year, and I probably say it every year that I have the privilege of speaking here at Hope for Broken Homes, and that is the thing I wrestle with the most is what can I offer you that will bring a blessing, a challenge, a genuine challenge, and not step on a hurt? And that journey is one that, I definitely wrestle with. And even as I share this evening, that's my heart. That is God's heart. I know it's God's heart. And I'm so imperfect, I can't be the right channel or the perfect channel. But God is able. Some of you are here for the first time. I was really blessed to see those of you that are here for the first time. And your needs are important. And God knows them. We can't meet them all here, but God can. And some of you have been here for a number of years, some for a long time. And we hear a little bit about that tomorrow. There's some old timers in here. But there's a lot of experience, too, of God's faithfulness, God's working, God doing deep things, breaking up fallow ground, you know. There's a lot of that right here among the ladies. There's a lot of ministry that goes on. And I always go back to, I can't remember what year it was, someone just kind of, I think they were referencing someone else maybe, but they said, you know, I heard that we really don't come for the preaching anyway. We just come to minister to each other. So I'll take that to heart now. But I do, my heart, my desire, I know the Lord's desire, and I believe yours too, as you've been praying for this time, is Lord, equip us. Lord, put the balm of God's mercy where it needs to be, and also bring the challenge, you know. You know, it's amazing sometimes when you've been in circumstances, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but where things are just so overwhelmingly difficult that when you get a break from that through circumstances you would never ask for, maybe a period of time, everything in you wants to just relax. And yet God may also be wanting to do a deep work in your heart as well. And it may be like, I'm just too tired to do this right now. And that's okay. But sometimes it can go too long. And how do you teach on something like that? That's where I'm trying to discern God's will, God's heart in the journey. So if you would, I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you pray? Can we pray together for God to bless the seminar, bless you in your particular journey and need? And those of you who are strong, that you can find the ones that can use your words of encouragement and history to be able to help them on their way just for this day. God's mercies are real. Sometimes we just struggle to know how to grab a hold of them in a way that it brings the benefit that God wants. You know what I mean? He's faithful, but it's a journey to understand that. Let's pray. Father, we bless you again. Thank you so much for each one that is here, those that will come. Lord, we are just asking of you to send your Holy Spirit to minister to each one in such an individual way. Wherever they're at in their journey, wherever they're at in their emotions, wherever they're at in the circumstances that have happened, or they may be in a place where their hearts are filled with joy because they've experienced tremendous, tremendous blessings here as of late. And you put us all together here for a purpose. You've called each one here. It's not a mistake. The ones that lack, Lord, will be provided for, and those that have abundance will be able to give of that abundance. Father, we pray that you will bless the word, bless our sharing, bless the seminar, oh God, please, not for any purpose, but in order to bring healing and to bring care and to bring challenge to your children. And so here we are, Lord. We are needy and we look to you and we thank you that we can believe and trust that your heart is bent towards us because of Jesus. We thank you. Amen. And amen. You all may be seated. Thank you so much. So I would be amazing. My wife, you know, usually is that she's the social butterfly, you know, but hearing the stories and hearing different things that were going on. So here earlier this week, I thought, you know what, let me just kind of write down a few of the things that we've experienced. I mean, I'm up here, so you have to hear me, but I want to hear you too. Just maybe not tonight, right? Or at least not while I'm supposed to be speaking. But this year has been crazy. This I can ask. Has anyone had a crazy year? Or is it just, oh yeah, I get a lot of crazies in here. Remember somewhere along the line I said, why does it always seem like normal famines, whatever that means, it's like normal, 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 and then a little crazy? And then it's folks like, I'll say me, maybe you can identify with this, it's like crazy, 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 normal, crazy, crazy, crazy. And that's kind of how it rolls, it seems. And as I was thinking back, it's been good. There's been good pieces and bad pieces. I don't want to bore you to death with my story, but some of you would know certain pieces of it. Our granddaughter, whom my wife's home with, her name is Samai, and we call her Semi. We had to get emergency custody of her. This is between last year and this year. So this was quite an ordeal. So we had to get emergency custody, and they were in Maryland, our daughter-in-law and our granddaughter. And so it was quite an ordeal going back and forth. The reason why we had to get emergency custody is because our daughter-in-law went through a real time of just very big difficulty. She's still in it, and she was in and out of some mental health facilities, tried to take her life, and just a lot of back and forth. That was the crazy train time, I'll be honest with you. We would come back, and then she'd be okay, and then she was like, I want my daughter back, and then 3 days later, she's like, you come get her, or I'm leaving her. And it was just back and forth. We had to get police involved, and you know, crazy train. You don't need all the gory details. You probably have some of your own stories, but at the same time that we got emergency custody, we had to file for permanent custody, which takes a long time. And the reason we had to do this is because in Maryland, the Youth and Children's Services, whatever it's called down here, I can't remember, they said, look, we want your granddaughter with you. It's obvious that's the best place for her. But in Maryland, because you're out of state, if you do not get a judge to give a ruling on this matter, there's going to come a point where we're going to have to come and take her and put her into foster care. And I'm like, huh? They said, because you're out of state. And they were so kind. They said, all I'm telling you is we'll give you all the time you need. Just get the ball rolling. Well, when you do that type of stuff, you have to put together a big list of why your daughter-in-law is an unfit mom and why your son is an unfit dad. And then you have to deliver it to them, so that they know what you're filing and why, and then they have an opportunity, of course, to counter. Do any of you guys know any how this crazy train stuff goes? Back and forth to Maryland, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then, anyway. So, thankfully, in January 2nd, I think it was, we were awarded full custody. The judge was very merciful, and my wife, of course, just poured her grandma heart out, and she shared the Lord with the judge, and just kind of just poured her heart out. I'm so proud of my wife. So she's not here, I can tell her, I can say that. She just was herself, and God just spoke right through her. And the judge said, we give you full custody, and there's no follow-up. You have full rights there. So obviously through all that fallout with my son, and my oldest son, Rex, who's a prodigal, you guys know that story, I've been here before. And our daughter-in-law, she just continued to do the crazy train thing. And of course, he accused us of kidnapping, called the police on us. So, and then, of course, our daughter-in-law, when she was out of facility, she cussed me out more than my mom ever did. I didn't know that was possible. And she came to our house saying she was going to kill us. And so, of course, we had to have the police there. I'm not telling you, Sedge, God's been very faithful, but it's been crazy. In this whole thing with our son, you know, he was like, I want nothing to do with you. He's the one that called on us kidnapping our granddaughter. Of course, we showed that we had custody, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. I mean, it didn't, like, make us come out of the house and cuff us or anything. It was not quite that dramatic. But trying to see what else. Oh, so in this whole journey with Rex, he was like, I want nothing to do with you. He hadn't seen his daughter since she was 6 months old. And, of course, our hearts have been just leaning towards Rex for years now. He's been prodigal for quite a while. And anyway, his birthday rolled around in November. And so I reached out to him, and I said, happy birthday, Rex. And I said, I love you. He turned 27. And to my surprise, he responded. And he said, I love you too, Dad. Thank you. So I was like, So I waited a little while, and I prayed about it. And then I came up with this idea, and I went to his brothers. We have five boys. Rex is the oldest of the five. And I went to the other four, and I said, if I can arrange something to go out and see Rex, to go visit him, he's out in Pittsburgh, would you guys be up for it? And they're like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, pray about it. Let's think about it. They all came back, and they were like, yeah, if you want us to go, Dad, we'll go. So anyway, I'm like, hey, Rex, we'd love to come out and see you. And I would like to bring your brothers out. I mean, his youngest brother wouldn't even hardly remember him. And anyway, I said, would you be up for that? It's just to connect. I had this thing that I picked up somewhere. It says, if you need to deliver a 10-ton truth, you need to have a 10-ton bridge of relationship to get it there. And to my shame, I hadn't done real great with that. Yeah, I try, but not real hard. Anyway, so to my surprise, it came back, and he's like, Dad, thanks for thinking of me. I would love that. When do you want to come? So we went out, and it was just amazing. So that was a blessing on that side. In the meantime, boy, I hope I don't bore you with all my details. You're like, no, give the juice, right? In the meantime, a daughter-in-law who's from Ethiopia, and so she disappeared. So, like, truly disappeared. We couldn't find her, put out a lost persons report on her. So my wife did find her in the computer, not in the computer, found about her on the computer. And she's in California in a federal prison waiting to be go before a judge here very, very soon on some federal charges related to guns, kidnapping, and a few other things. So I don't know what all God is doing in her life, her mental health issues and all that. And we just don't have all the answers, but we try to do what we can to keep things where they need to be. So that as God works, we can still be available, at the same time not let it sink us. Do you know what I mean? That is so hard. Isn't that hard? You're like, I want to be there. God, I know you want me there, but you know, this will sink me if I get to. How do you want me to handle this? The Lord will give wisdom, but it's not always pretty in how it gets there. On the other side of things, our Ethan, of course, he's married, and our Josiah, who's here with Kirsten, they're married, and they're both expecting babies. So we're going to have two more grandchildren, Lord willing, here. Josiah's are due in November. Ethan's in September. And our Grace and Jordan, who are here, are prepping for baptism. And I'm really blessed and thankful. I'll be preaching and working along and officiating part of that journey for them. And it's been amazing. I'm going to share a little more about that piece of it Sunday morning because it relates to this group. I'll tell you why. And so anyway, it's just been very interesting. Those are just kind of the highlights of our year. Yeah, how has your year been? we feel like we're into peacetime now after the bad crazy. Now it's just busy crazy, and that's fine. We embrace it. Here's the piece that we know that God is in control. Always. If we are throwing our hearts in his hands, it can be as messy and confusing as it needs to be. God is able to meet us there. God begins a work. God perfects a work. God will cause all things to work together for good to them that love him. It may be very difficult to see it sometimes. God is faithful always. God is growing us always. And God is seeking to heal us always. We live in a fallen world and things fall on us. Sometimes things fall out of us. God is always at work there to continue to walk with us. That's his heart. That's his desire. And there is, at least for myself, at times a gap. And I know I talked about this last year, and I won't even humor myself that you remember everything that I preached last year. But sometimes there are these gaps. I have gaps where I know what God is or I know what God's desire is. My soul wants it, but I can't quite grab a hold of it yet. And what happens in those gaps? What happens in that space between what we know and what we emotionally can do or what we're experiencing currently? Those gaps are so important because it's in those gaps where we can truly, truly experience God in a way that's maybe different than typical. Or we can lose our way in that gap. And a lot of what happens in that gap has to do with how we view God in a gap when we're not where we think he wants us to be. But I do want to just say, because I struggle with saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share? Jesus Christ is the Lord of the gap as well. If he isn't, then he's not all powerful. Every single one of us has gaps, all of us. His grace fills that place so that we can grow through it. And that's really important for us to know. When I was a new Christian, I just remember I was a really old geezer, and now I'm getting into the old geezer stage myself. But I just remember this. I was young, and I just remember everything. I was like, wow, this guy's like, he's just really sharing a lot of great stuff. And I just remember him saying, young man, he said, God is a gentleman. I don't know, I don't see that necessarily in the Bible, but he said, God is a gentleman, and he will not force his way on us. He wants us to invite him in, to ask him to come. He gave the example of the two men, where Jesus, they couldn't see who he was, and they asked him, they implored him to eat. Remember, he broke the bread, and they saw who he was. Remember that? When Jesus was walking past on the water, and they called to him, and he came to them. And there's just a lot of those examples where, you know, the woman who just knew if she could touch the hem of his garment, she would experience him in a way that would bring healing. And he just said, God will respond, but he will never force himself. And he wants you to call him into every area of your life. And I never thought about that. But before that, I was like, okay, God, you want to bring healing, but you want me to ask for it. You want me to bring it in. And so even in the areas of those gaps, so I want to tell a couple stories, get maybe a little vulnerable with you, and hopefully it'll resonate with you. I don't think I ever told a story, and if I did, it doesn't matter. But at work, a number of years back, quite a long time ago, I had a younger boss, younger than I was. And he was a good man, good leader, was great, but he was new in his position and young. And there was a situation that happened. And he confided in me in a situation that I don't think was out of step. But in the end, we talked about it a few times. And in the end, he said, I need you. I think you're the one that needs to go and talk to that person. Now, this person was my peer. So we both answered to him. But he thought I was the one to go talk to him. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't mind doing it. But you are his authority, and I'm his peer, so I'm not so sure it'll go well. And he said, you know what? I know you need to go. You are the man. Oh, no. If someone ever says you're the person, you may want to go, hold on. But anyway, after a few times of talking about it, he goes, you go talk to him. So I did. I went, and I talked to him, and I talked plainly, and I laid it out for him, and I thought I did it in a good way and a caring way. In the end, I hurt him real bad. I hurt this fellow bad. In the far end, he actually left his job, and he referenced back to this conversation that I had with him. Obviously, I didn't do it the right way. Those are the things that worry me about myself. And, I mean, this fellow had a career, and he did. But what happened for me personally was I blamed my boss. And I mean, I'm a Christian guy, minister, whatever. I mean, I should know better, but I had this thing. And finally I told him, I was like, you should have talked to him. I shouldn't have done that. I hurt him. I tried to make it right. And he said he forgave me and all that. And the couple years went by, and I just always had this peace in my spirit against this boss. And we could relate well and all that, but I just always had this nagging piece. And I thought, well, it's so small. It's in the past. It doesn't matter. And I was getting ready for revival meetings, and I was praying, and I was like, all right, Lord, what do you want to do? Where do you want this to go? And this type of thing. And God put his finger on it. And this doesn't happen very often to me, but God put his finger on it, and he reminded me of something I think was over 3 years old with this situation and with my boss. And God said, you have to get this out of your life. And I'm like, what do you mean? So as I entered into this time of like, all right, Lord, I want to totally release him, regardless of what his motives were. I don't even know him. I need to release this. And I realized pretty quickly, I couldn't do it. Isn't that odd? Something so, you know, silly like a work thing. Does anybody ever have those things happen? I know they happen. But God was like, you have to get this out of your life. And I'm like, God, how do I do this? And I began to start a journey where I was like, Lord, work this thing out of my life. I invited him in. I'm like, God, work this thing out. And it didn't work out. And it didn't work out. And it didn't work out. And I know it was over another year where I'm like, God, you have to do this to me. I can't do it. I can't. You have to do it. Now, we know it's supposed to forgive, right? It's supposed to let it go. And it was so small. Why does it matter? But it mattered to the Lord. And all I can say is that softly and gently through that period of time, I'm like, Lord, work this in my life. God, slowly move this thing out of my heart and put it wherever it needed to be. And then one morning after I knew that that had been gone, and it was just a slow, long journey, and I sat down and I wrote an email to my boss. And the subject at the top, I said, the last 1%. And in there, I just said, boss. And I didn't share anything about him because it didn't matter. This journey was about me getting stuff out of me that God didn't want there. And I shared that with him. And I sent the email on the last 1%. I don't even think it was 30 seconds he called me on the desk phone. And he was like, Rex. He goes, Rex, I'm the one. I totally messed up. But you know, I was at a point where that didn't matter. I didn't do it for that. I said, you know what? That's between you and the Lord. I want you to know I care about you. I'm just letting you know that I had to tell you that I had this there. And this was my sin. And I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And he said, of course. That last 1%, you know. Those areas where, and I can tell the story in 3 minutes or whatever it was it took. But it was probably, you know, it was four years to get that worked out. All of us have those gaps, those 1%, maybe 5%, maybe multiple 5%. And this is where I say, all right, Lord, I'm on the right track. I want to share. So, oh, yes, before I do, I want to share another story that is kind of along the same path. But if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew 23, just to look at an amazing scripture. I had so many, and I cut most of them out. In Matthew 23, the Pharisees were in this whole thing where if you swear by this, it binds, and if you swear by that, it doesn't, and just all this nonsense stuff. And I need to just jump in for the sake of time. Going down to verse 19. The religious folks, and I understand why, but they had this mindset that unclean things would defile. And they had a reason for that. A dead body would defile, you know, these different things would defile what was holy. That if something unclean went into the temple would be defiled. And Jesus makes a statement that we can miss if we don't understand what he's saying. And in verse 19, he says, you blind men, because they're like, if you swear by the offering on the altar, it's binding, but if you swear on the altar, it's not so much. And Jesus makes a statement, and he says, you blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? In everything in the Jewish culture, if something unclean went on that altar, it would defile it. And Jesus was saying, you are fools. The altar is holy, and anything that touches that altar gets sanctified. And he's talking about himself. So many times our mindset is, if I'm not completely right, if I have gaps in my life, if I have 1% in my life, I can't grab a hold of Christ. It'll defile him. It'll diminish my witness or his witness. But this is just one small example where the Lord is saying, the altar purifies the offering. When we have gaps, we need to throw ourselves on the Lord and find our peace. When we have 1% that God's trying to work out in our lives, no matter how long it takes, we need to throw ourselves on the Lord and find our place. When we are in a struggle and we're like, God, what is in my heart shouldn't be there. God, pull it out of me. We need to throw ourselves on the Lord, and God will be working in that journey to make us holy again, to make us pure and right. See, God's not ashamed of us to come to him when we're broken, when we're struggling, when there's a big gap. And we can't be that way either. It's really important that we throw ourselves on the Lord because we need that grace. Are you all with me? We have to have that grace. If we don't have that grace in that place where we fall short, we cannot move forward. God's deep grace is intended to work in our lives in order to give us the freedom to keep moving forward, to keep finding his heart, keep finding his journey. Many, many years ago, and this is quite a long time ago, we had a single mom that came to our church, and she had come from a broken home, and there was a lot of trauma. We don't even know how much. She had come a number of times. We asked a few questions. I'm being really vulnerable with y'all. Hopefully because you can connect with it. But so she began to share a little bit, and I think some of it was through my wife because of my wife's abuse growing up. And through that, relationship began, and she was looking for a church home. She had had some struggles. We don't even know what kind. We didn't know yet. And she was looking for her spot. And so my wife said, "Well, look, I talked to my husband, and would you be willing to sit down with us as a couple and a couple other ministerial couples?" And she said, "Yeah, I would be glad to do that." So we met. And she shared a little bit of her story. It wasn't terribly deep. It was enough to give us a view without all the details. And just remember hearing that. And I don't remember how all the conversation went, but of course I led the discussion. Others, you know, spoke into it. And I just remember saying, "Thank you for what you shared. We realize it's going to be a journey." And I think I probably said something like, "You know, if this is where you feel the Lord would have you, we want to walk with you, and we want to try to bless you and journey with you." Obviously, every church has certain accountabilities. We walk with that as well, but we want you to know we believe you and we want to help you any way we can. And she responded in a way that seemed right or good. And then I think I had said, "Would you be all right if we prayed for you?" "Yes, that'd be great." And I remember a couple of the wives went over and laid their hands on her, and we prayed for her, and that was the end of it. And then after that meeting, she never came back to church. And when we tried to text her, we had gotten her number, of course. She never responded. When my wife went to visit her at her house, she knows she was there, but she couldn't bring herself to answer the door. And I don't know what happened, except that I probably can say something happened in that meeting where we stepped on a hurt. And probably I stepped on it. I don't know. But, in that circumstance, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it was fear that rose up in her. Maybe she felt trapped. I don't know if she felt control, or I'm a command man type of guy. That's just my nature. I don't want to control things, but it can come across. I just don't know. I don't know what that reminded her of. And my heart went out because I thought, wow, here our desire was to try to help, and I don't know what I might have done. She needed some healing, and maybe I needed some coaching on what to do. I don't know. Just being really open. And then I thought about this, and that was her 1%. There was something there. Maybe it was a 5%. Maybe, I don't know. But I wanted to ask this question, and I'm not looking for you to respond. Was she wrong? So she was at a spot where she could not see past herself, or see past her hurt, or what someone else had done to her, and she just couldn't trust. She just couldn't. Was she wrong? I don't think so. Will that get in the way of what God might have been trying to do for her in that moment? Yeah. But God will continue to try, But God's heart is for her to continue on her journey to find safe people, to find God's word, to find godly people, so that she can continue to grow, so that next time she has an opportunity, maybe, just maybe, she'll be healed enough to be able to open up her heart a little. Are you all with me? This is the world that we live in sometimes, a broken world, a fallen world, things fall on us. How do we walk with that? We need the Lord, and he is not surprised. God is the Lord of the gap between what we know we should do, but our emotions tell us something totally different. Can anybody relate to this story? I see a few. Okay, good, thank you. I'm like, oh my, where, if I'm telling a story in there, I'm like, we don't get it. I'm like, oh no. I know God doesn't judge her. My heart goes out to her. God's heart goes out. God doesn't condemn her either. You can only give what you have to give. Who's going to point fingers? I'm not. I can't. Sometimes healing needs to happen very deeply and in layers in order to even get us to a place where we can take that next step. But that's very lonely. And I just want you to know, if you find yourself in that spot right now where it's like, I don't even know if I can trust anybody, God's not condemning you. God cares about you, and he's there with you. His grace is there if you will throw yourself on him. Invite him in and ask him to continue to do that work. And if it takes all the way into eternity, that doesn't matter to him. He is not saying you are useless. You are of no value. God is not pointing the finger like others may have. God is seeing you as his child that needs to be with him. So important. So, so important. Because when we get it to that spot where we can't reach out to others, and if we think that God is mad at us, that's a very lonely place to be, and that's not where God is calling us. God's not calling you there at all. There are areas in our lives that God wants to bring healing, and only he can do it. You can't just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't just say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. You can't just say, oh, everything is wonderful when your emotions are telling you something different. And yes, you do get tired of everyone being like, oh, God's got it all right in his hand. Well, yeah, okay. Well, I can't pay my bills. Thank you. They mean well. And it is true. And it is right. And God is not done. And he is at work. And he is faithful. He is. We're just in a spot where where we need to continue to let God turn our hearts towards him so that our spirit and his spirit can line up. It doesn't diminish his goodness. And it doesn't diminish that you are his child. It just means there's a gap between where you're going to get to and where you're currently at. God is faithful to complete what he started, no matter what's going on. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm gonna pace it here because I want to make sure I don't get, yeah, I just turned French, I don't get too long-winded. Hebrews chapter 4, I know you know this, but I want us to see this again. The great high priest, Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Look at this. This one should be circled. Sometimes we know it so well, we miss pieces of it. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of what? What does your translation say?
Need.
When are you more needy? When you can't trust anybody? When are you more needy when you feel like you're a failure? When are you more needy when you feel like your whole world's falling apart? When are you more needy than that? Draw near with confidence that you may receive mercy and find grace to to help in the time of need. That's the Lord. That's his promise. That's his heart. Only Jesus can stand in the gap. Only Jesus can stand in that gap. We see a lot of examples in the Old Testament. God was always searching for someone to stand in. Moses stood in the gap somewhat. Isaiah stood in the gap somewhat. There's a few other circumstances we see. Even in the offerings that were made every year in the temple and for individuals going, they were just standing in the gap. But only Jesus is the real thing that is the gap. Jesus fills that gap between his grace and mercy and our journey. That's justification and sanctification. Sanctification takes time. And so he is enough, he is faithful, and he is able to do it. So I want to kind of end out with this last little piece. So I need you to pray for me, and I say it kind of with a smile. My daughter is learning to drive. And so she drove us here today, and because she needs to get her hours. And I'm like, oh boy, okay. You know, she does pretty well, but you know, you're looking up ahead and you see all these red things going, and she's like, doo-doo-doo-doo, you know, and I'm like, do you see all those? You know, I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I can't help. I'm like, do you see all those red lights? Oh yeah. And she's a sweet daughter. I appreciate her. She's very, she'll receive instruction, but I want her to see it without having to receive it, right? But anyway, so we're doing this thing. Well, I'll tell you what's the most confusing, and you guys have been probably through this if you trained or helped instruct any of your children in driving. When you come to a four-way stop, and it's, you know, and every spot's filled, who goes first? Now, there are certain laws that give you principles, but I'm going to tell you what, they don't all line up, you know. And so the other, I think it was a month ago or so, we came to a four-way stop, and everyone's there, and I think they all were on their permits, like my daughter, because they were all just like, we were just like, and oh, I'll digress. I went out with a coworker the other day, and it was a four-way stop, and I knew it was my turn to go, so I'm going out, and he's going like this to the guy. I'm like, I'm driving. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Honestly, the guy's like, he's going like this. I'm like, and the guy's like, whoop, and I'm like, what in the world? So anyway, we're sitting there, and all of them are in a permit, and she goes, what do I do? And I said, you move out real slowly, and you wave at everybody, and then you get out of here. But it is difficult sometimes to know who goes first. You know, you're kind of in that four-way stop. Spiritually, we have these four-way stops as well. It's like, who goes first? What happens first? And as I was thinking on this, you know, sometimes when you get gridlocked a little bit. Now, we understand the salvation side pretty well, I think. I know it's always a journey not to try to earn God's pleasure. We want to please him because we love him. We know he loves us. We bask in his grace, and that produces a desire to please him, but it's not earning it. I know that's a journey, but that's what the script, we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Doesn't mean we don't work. Doesn't mean we don't try to be holy. Doesn't mean we don't do righteously. Of course we do, but we do it because God has first loved us and our sin, and we have a heart that wants to please him and further his kingdom work. We get it. We at least understand the principles. So, you know, in that spot, which goes first? God's grace that covers us or our faith? Which one goes first? But on the other two lanes, or the other two roads, or at the other two stop signs, as I was thinking about this, there is the spot where we can say, my need for healing, my need to be real, my need for holiness, my need for sanctification, the need for a deep work of God in my life. And on the other street, sitting right there, is the healing work that is administered by Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Who goes first? What happens there? Now, this is where I'm going to try my very best. Lend me grace. If I step on something, forgive me. God's grace and his lordship in the gap in our lives, in my life, is there to give me the ability to move forward towards his healing. It is not given to me so I can keep skirting or avoiding the difficult process of letting God do that deep work in me. That's not an excuse, but it's more than enough. I had a gentleman that was sitting in my office quite a while back. I've been on this row in teaching on those that are weak among us. And in saying that, I'm not saying that's here. We're all in different ways with weaknesses and troubles and stripes and whatever. And God knows that. He's fine with that. He just wants us to journey in that healing. So I'd been talking about it. He had heard me speak somewhere on this whole piece. And then anyway, sitting in my office, and he goes, Rex, he goes, my daughter-in-law comes from some sort of trauma, and she hasn't shared it with us. And so we were talking a little bit about it, and he goes, I love her so much. He goes, but I got to be honest, I'm so afraid that I'm gonna step on something. She's going to cut me off. So afraid. I've heard that before. Many times I talk about it in Boston. You know, my wife was born and raised up there. I was up there for 11 years. And in the subway, if you've ever been to Boston subway, sorry that you had to experience that. But there's some areas where there's so many tracks. There's just tons of them. And it's like somebody's on the other platform, and they're really small. I mean, it's really big, and all these things all going through. And there's always the track for the one wheel. It's not a wheel. I don't know what they call it. And a track for another one, and then there's a third track for each car, and it's called the third rail. And the third rail has these big signs on it, and they're in yellow, and they say, do not touch the third rail, death. So if you touch that third rail where all the electricity goes through, you are dead. And there's actually stories where people, where they jump down and, anyway. Don't touch that third rail. So I want to bring this here, that there are areas, and are there areas in our lives where people that do love us, do care deeply about us, are afraid to touch that third rail in our lives. And you know, when you've been hurt, and again, I don't know that this is for everybody here, but when we're hurt, if people will push back because they sense something and they sidestep that type of stuff, it's a little bit easier for us. If they don't mess with me, I won't mess with them. You know what I mean? If they don't go there, then I don't have to go there. Don't touch that third rail, or you're going to die. Not literally, we're non-resistant, I get it. But there are people, there are good and godly people. There are, I know, there are many. And their heart is to help and to bless and to care. You're not a project, I'm not a project, but to mix together and do life together. But if there is a place of a lack of healing in our lives, and we put out signs that say, don't go there, this is a third rail, don't go there. Over here, don't go there. God's grace is sufficient in the gap, but his grace comes with the expectation that we're going to invite him in to start the healing. I want to show you this in Scripture. It's amazing. This will be a final Scripture here tonight, and this is what I'm going to ask you to think about. God, are there areas in my life where I've learned to sidestep the thing I don't want to deal with, that you want me to deal with? Lord, is there a 1% area in my life? Now, I'm not talking about something to put you in danger. I'm not talking about going and doing something with someone you can't trust. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about with the Lord and save people. This man that was talking to me is a godly man. He loves his daughter-in-law, but he's afraid to get too close because he's afraid she'll cut him off. When we go through trauma, we're not the only ones that suffer. Our children, our relatives, our church people. God wants to heal us. It can be a long journey. It's okay. God wants to heal us. We can't just skirt it. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke 13. This amazing Scripture. I know you know this stuff. But I want you to see this in the Word of God, in a principle. In Luke 13, and I thank you so much for your attention. I just want to work this through. Oh, while you turn there, Luke 13, I forgot something. I thought it was clever. It's not, but These four-way stops, the spiritual four-way stops, I wrote down that there's two roads that come together there. And the name of the one road is Grace's Provision Avenue. And the other road is Personal Responsibility Street. When we get to that spot, God's grace will cover it, but I also have personal responsibility to invite God in to do what he wants, the way he wants, in his time. Not in what your mother-in-law wants or what your second uncle's cousin wants. Everyone's got opinions. Oh my, wow, we got lots of those. But God knows the pace. God knows the journey. I'm talking about with him and people that can trust in that journey. Anyway, Luke 13, go down if you would, verses 6 through 9. To me, this is an encouraging scripture, a powerful scripture indeed. And so Jesus tells this parable in verse 6, and it says, and he began telling a parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and didn't find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, which obviously is different, the owner and the keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this tree. Without finding any, cut it down. Justice. Justice. Cut it down. It's not what it should be. It's not producing what it was made for. Cut it down. Then he says, why should it even use up the ground or cumbers the ground, I think King James says. Look at verse 8. And he answered, this is the vineyard keeper, and he said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it, and what? What does your translation say? Put dung on it, put fertilizer on it, put everything that's needed. Let me dig around its roots. Let me expose all the ends of those little roots. And let me put the fertilizer, everything that that tree needs. Everything. I'll put it right there for them. And then if they would draw in that nutrients, let's see what happens. He goes, I'll dig around it. I'll put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. And if not, let's cut it down. Now, it would be really easy to focus on, let's cut it down. But I want us to focus on everything prior to that. All the provision and the grace of the Lord in the journey. It's not bearing the fruit. It's not doing what it should. What is the issue? And the vineyard keeper says, I'll do it all. I'll do it all. I'll do everything. Put it right there. But we have to draw from it. Everything. And God is a gentleman. And he will not force himself on us. But we have to invite him into those areas. What are those areas in your life tonight? What are those things that maybe are years and years old? Maybe they're in your rearview mirror, but you know in your heart of hearts, it's one of those pieces where it's like, okay, God, when you're ready, help me. When it's your timing, take me. And you know that God wants to do that work. And again, it's not based on anybody's expectation but his. When I had gone to him, and that was just an easy example for me to give about my boss. But when I went to him, I knew, to the Lord, I knew that he was going to have to do this work. When God revealed to me that I had a spirit of anger, even though I didn't throw anything, it was a long journey to allow God to do a work in my heart. I've walked with people, and when God reveals something to them and it's so much a part of them, whether it's pornography or whether it's lying or putting on fronts and airs, whatever those things are that are so much a part of the DNA of the root ball that we get brought into the kingdom with, that it is too much for us to fake our way out of it. You know, God is not ashamed of us when that becomes an honest conversation with him. God says, now, that's where I want to do my next miracle. That's where I want to walk with you. That's where I want you to throw yourself on me. That's where I want to have this type of relationship with you. And we say, Lord, I can't cross this Red Sea. And he says, put your foot in the water. No, God, I can't. We'll drown. I can't. And he says, trust me. And I will show you my love and my care in the gap. Because I have made a commitment that I will bring you there. And that is a powerful truth. So as I wrap up, I know words are just words and stories are just stories. my hope and my heart and my prayer is that you can draw something from this that'll give you confidence to be able to trust the Lord, even if your knees are shaking. And let God take you where you don't want to go, but you need to. Does that make sense? I hope so. God bless you all. I'm going to close in prayer. Let's pray together.